It's the weekend, which means it's time for Jill on Money, the show that makes money fun and just happens to answer all your financial questions. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Welcome to Jill on Money. It's the weekend. It's time to have some fun. Fun with your money. Yay! This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. I'm Jill Schlesinger. I am a mother, among other things, CBS News business analyst, but I'm also a certified financial planner and the senior CFP board ambassador. Mark is running the show, rocking and rolling. Some of you really want to hear Mark on the air. Didn't you do it once? And then that was it. And then you went crawling back behind the glass, hiding in your anonymity that you love so much. Not for long. I'm going to get you on this microphone. What do you think about that? You know what someone asked me? Is Mark your Robin? As in, I'm Howard Stern and you're Robin Quivers? So I said, I don't know. I'll have to see if he likes that or not. I'll let you know. He says he likes her money. Yeah. I like his money. I've stalked him a little bit. You know, I met him on the beach once. I mean, not met him. I ran into him and just watched where he went back up the steps because he's had one of those like mansions on the beach. So I just wanted to note his house. But his wife really liked my dogs, so that was good news. She does. I don't know if he does. But anyway, so Mark is not Robin, but he could be a Robin Standen. If you would like to contact us, lots of different ways to do it. 855-411-JILL. That's our phone number. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. Tweet at Jill on Money. And by the way, you got to check out our new YouTube channel. Mark has worked so hard on this. You just search Jill Schlesinger on YouTube and you'll get all of the audio content. What else? The CFP board videos. No TV stuff, right? The TV stuff's not on there? I don't think so. For the TV stuff, you can just go to jillonmoney.com. You can watch some old segments just for fun. Someone sent me a segment recently who said, this is from, I think it was from 7 years ago. And I was talking about the sandwich generation. You know, people stuck in between their kids and their aging parents. Anyway, I have to say my hair looked awful. And that was the whole point of them sending this to me, which is it was sort of a nice but a side shot. Like, you look so much better now as opposed to you look so horrible then. I did not look great then, I'll tell you the truth. Okay, let's get to a first call. Mark's like on it. Let's get going. Let's talk to Adam, who's on the line from Pennsylvania. Hi, Adam. Welcome to Jill on Money. How are you and what can I do for you?
Hi, Jill.
Hi.
I'm doing just great.
Terrific. What's up?
I'm calling because I'm curious on a good strategy to withdraw from my retirement accounts and still protect my investments while I'm in retirement.
Okay.
I heard a lot about how to save for retirement, you know, auto investments, index funds, rebalancing. But I want to know what I do with my nest egg once I retire. I'm kind of against annuities because of the fees, and I don't like locking my investments up in one investment vehicle like that. So do I just leave it in the index funds and sell off a little every month? Do I move it to something like one of the, like a Vanguard managed payout fund where they kind of try to guarantee a certain amount of payout every month? Or, what do I do? And the other thing is that I'm 40.
Wow.
I'm trying to retire.
I was just like, 40? 40 and we're talking about retirement. This is pretty awesome.
Well, yeah. So I'm wondering then, I've done a lot of saving into my thrift savings plan. So how do I, or my Roth IRA. So how do I access those funds if I retire early before the normal withdrawal?
Okay. So you're 40. When
yeah.
do you really think that you're going to retire?
I'd like to retire now.
Let's start with that. Can you retire now? Have you run your numbers?
So my annual expenses right now, first I'm married. My wife still plans on working. She loves her job and wants to keep doing that.
Okay.
My annual expenses are around $30,000. I have $30,000 saved up in just a regular savings account.
Mm-hmm.
Roth IRA of $150,000. My thrift savings plan, which is like the federal 401k, is at $300,000.
Yeah.
Then just at my brokerage, my outside investing is about $600,000.
Okay.
And we don't have debt. We rent. And eventually I'll get a small pension from the government starting at 65.
Okay. How small?
It'll be about $10,000 once I hit 65.
$10,000 a year.
Yep.
Okay. And I mean, are you kidding me when you say you really want to retire now?
I really would. I'd like to be able to spend more time with the kids, and just want to volunteer a little bit more, and there are other things I'd like to be doing, get involved in local politics.
Okay.
I'm ready to step away from the 9-to-5 if I can.
Okay. And how much does your wife make?
She makes 120.
So you can live off her salary.
The 30,000 number, she and I try to keep our expenses separate. So she has, she kind of spends around 30,000 and I spend around 30,000. So.
But wait a second. So I just want to make sure I understand who I'm counting on, okay? Because I don't want to sign her up for something she's not into. Theoretically, on her 120, she could take care of most of the total expenses of 60. Are you saying that's not what you want to do?
The total expenses should be able to be covered with that.
But that said, what you're telling me is you really would like to cover your own expenses. So you want to try to make 50 grand a year, essentially, to cover your 30. Is that right?
I would need around 30 after tax.
Okay.
To cover my portion, and I'd like to continue to do that.
Okay. And so, you know, volunteering is one thing. Do you think you can find a job or doing something for 50 grand a year or not?
Probably not. I don't want to.
You're like a slug, dude. You're a slug. Just admit it. I love it. It's like, just own it, baby. Own it. Own it, baby. Okay. We're going to come back and talk to you because I'm going to pay some bills. I want to start thinking about how we do this, how we get the money out of here and not blow through all of the money you've worked so hard to save. So let's do that. And then we'll come back and chat with you. Because this is an interesting dilemma. Age 40, I don't want to say that you want to retire. I'd like to reframe that. Maybe you would just like a new career, and the new career is just not going to be as lucrative as your old one. Maybe that's the better way to put it. I think that works for me. All right, stay tuned. We're going to get back with Adam from Pennsylvania. We're going to see how to generate the money he needs from his savings to help him get that 50 grand a year. So you are listening to Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Young, old, it doesn't matter. She's here to help you. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. What have we done
with the innocence? You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Before we went to the break, we were talking to Adam from Pennsylvania. He's 40 years old. He's married. He and his wife both working right now. They've got a couple kids. They have no debt. They rent. They don't have a mortgage, a couple different accounts here. And here is the question that Adam poses. He says he wants to retire early. And Adam, you say now, like 40 is like where you're willing. That's where you want to start, at least with your wish list, right?
That's right. If I can do it now, I'd like to.
Okay. So we have to generate 30 grand a year. And so you have a Roth, you have a thrift savings plan, you have a brokerage account. We're not going to touch your savings account. So the first thing I wanted to think about was this. if you need 30 grand a year, essentially, the two best places to do that, just in terms of minimizing your tax hit, would be the brokerage account that you have. So you have 600 grand in there, right?
Yes.
Okay. So obviously there will be some tax event because chances are you've got a cost basis that's less than 600,000. Do you know your cost basis?
It's about half that.
Okay. So, I mean, you'll have to pay capital gains tax, and you'll factor that in. But essentially, you know, if you have to generate 30,000, you know, you'll look at your, this is not taxable income to you, but capital gains, you know, maybe you have to pull out, let's say, 35 to cover that, 35 a year, maybe 40, but it's probably closer to 35, especially when your income goes down, right? So, the simple way to think about this is that 600 grand is going to, you know, probably cover you for the years until you can access the rest of the money, right? Let's call it, I don't want to call it your retirement, so let's call it your pre-retirement like years, your next 15 years or so. That's what you're going to use. Alternatively, by the way, you can pull out the your contributions to your Roth IRA, right? You're allowed to do that, not the accumulations. That's something you may want to consider, but I always like to sort of leave that as the last money. So if it's the brokerage account we're going to rely on and you're comfortable draining a bunch of money from that account, because you're going to, then you've got to come up with a strategy for how you want to manage the money for to generate the 35 grand. I don't know. I get what you're saying about, you know, maybe you'd want to do, you know, some sort of managed fund, but I think you could probably do it yourself. What is the brokerage account invested in right now?
Mostly the VTSAX.
So that's
Vanguard,
what that
total stock.
Okay. So, I mean, you can't have that. You're going to have to sell part of that off. So you're going to end up starting to pay capital gains anyway. My rule of thumb when it comes to people who know that they're on a limited income is that you probably want to have at least your first year in annual expenses in cash. And you can actually have it come to you instead of like pulling out 30 grand. You could just pull it out on a monthly basis. You know, that might be a way to just sort of get yourself used to this idea of having a smaller amount of money coming in every month. So, you know, maybe you do that. Maybe it's 2,500 a month, right? And so that you're going to at least at the very beginning, you're going to make sure you allocate at least $35,000, probably $40,000. You're going to have that in cash. Next, you got to reallocate some of the money. You can't have 100% of your money in stocks if you're trying to generate income. So those managed income funds, what they do is they essentially do this exact thing. They have some fixed income portion of the entire portfolio that can help manage this, right? So instead of you having Vanguard doing the managed payment fund, you do it yourself. And, you know, it's funny. I'm just on the Vanguard website. It says the fund aims to strike a balance between how much income it will generate and how much principal growth it will pursue, right? So I think that that's kind of really what you want. They have a they target annual distribution rates of 4%. I like to use a slightly lower one, like maybe 3.5% or 3%, because you're so young, probably that would do that. But you've got to shift the focus and move into some income, and you can use a bond fund for that. And then what you're going to do is all of the dividends that you normally have reinvested over the past, you're going to have that all start to accumulate in the cash fund. Because what you're trying to do is essentially accumulate enough cash a year ahead of time for your cash flow needs. So you'll have your income that's generated from, let's say you take 35 or 40 grand, you put it in cash, you turn the spigot off on reinvestment, and you redirect that spigot into your cash account so that it's flowing in there. And then when you do your allocation and your rebalancing, you are just going to make sure that 5% of your money is always in cash. You're going to rebalance in that way. And that is going to be the fund from which you draw that income. And to me, that's the best way to do it. I really would prefer you not starting to muck around with the Roth or the Thrift Savings Plan or doing anything like that. This is the fund from which you're going to draw. The question you have to ask yourself is, how do you feel about that? That brokerage account is probably going to be sliced in half. And, you know, by the time you reach age 55 or 60, you have to ask yourself whether that feels good to you. I don't know what your wife has, but you are no longer going to have that benefit of saying, oh, you know, I got $1 million saved. It's going to be a different number. And you really do, for, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, to generate your $30,000 a year in annual expenses, especially when you factor in the thrift savings plan, because you're going to have to pay tax on that, you're going to have some corpus, some body of investments that can generate enough money. So in my mind, I think 40 is too early for you to retire. I think I would feel much better if that brokerage account right now were $1 million. I think this is a slightly dangerous strategy unless you're planning to reduce the amount of. I think that what you really should be aiming for is that until you can get a job that covers your expenses, I would prefer you not pulling money out of this brokerage account. That's me. You may want to take a flyer. You may want to say I'm willing to do it, but essentially, that's how you create your own managed payout fund.
Okay.
You don't like that answer, do you?
It's not the answer I was hoping for. I was hoping you could say I could draw down from the brokerage, and by the time that gets near empty, the thrift savings plan would have grown enough in the meantime that I could.
No, it's only $300,000. I mean, there's just not going to be, you know, it could like 10 years from now. Yeah. But I don't know what's going to happen. It's a risky bet because if in the next 10 years you are only generating, let's just like pull it out of, you know, out of our heads, like that over the next 10 or 15 years, you can only generate 4 or 5% from that portfolio, then you're not going to have enough money to do it. So I think you should reassess. I think you should run some retirement numbers. There's lots of different places that you can do it, but I really think you got to take a good, long, hard look at this. This is a huge decision for you, huge. And it's terribly important that you run numbers and understand the risk that you are about to take. So I'm just doing back of the envelope. Maybe it's better than what I'm saying, but that said, I am not a huge fan of taking this kind of long-term bet without really understanding the risk. So I want you to do that. I want you to be clear about it. And I'm hopeful that after running through the numbers, you might say, I want to work for a few more years. Let me try this again at 45. But again, that's completely up to you. And it's important. Okay. Thank you so much for calling, Adam. Good luck. And if you have a financial question, I'm laughing because I'm thinking 40 years old. Woof. Okay. Good luck with that. Give us a holler. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. We'll be right back.
Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Want to get in touch? Call or email any day, anytime. 855-411-JILL or AskJill@JillOnMoney.com.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. This is a fascinating question from Anonymous. Notice how I did that. I protected the name of the innocent here. Anonymous loves the podcast, the Better Off podcast. If you want to check it out, just go into wherever you get your podcast and check it out. Okay. Anonymous is 30 years old. He's Australian. He's living in New York. makes 50 grand a year. Now, here's the deal. He recently got an inheritance of around $300,000 and would like to put it to work. Says, I want to keep some of it easily accessible, about 50 grand. The rest in long-term, low-risk, low-maintenance investments. So here's the wrinkle. He's not a U.S. citizen. So Roth IRA, 401k, probably not making sense because he says he really thinks he's going to choose to retire in Australia. He says, my thoughts are to keep the stash money in a ING savings account. That's fine. You know, any of those. The online accounts are pretty good. You can also check out depositaccounts.com, see if there's something there. Now, the rest, he says, an index fund. He says services like the robo-advisor Wealthfront are appealing as they handle it for you and are easy to understand. What would you advise? Any help would be appreciated. Yeah, I mean, I think the robos are a good choice, but if you're willing to do it, like even a little bit of the work, you might save yourself some money. So yes, you can use a robo, you can use Wealthfront, you can use Betterment, you can use Personal Capital, you can do whatever you want, but there's obviously a cost to doing that. So the other option is that what you may be able to do is just open up an account, say at Vanguard, which has cheap index funds, and do it yourself. And then you're going to basically invest in a few different index funds. Maybe you take a extended index fund, costs like less than 0.1%. Maybe you take a small cap fund, an international fund. Maybe even you put, I don't know if this is going to be all stocks, and maybe because you're so young, that's what you're thinking, just a few different index funds. And you'll be all set. Easy peasy. And alternatively, if you just really don't want to do it at all yourself and you would prefer to use a robo, that's fine too. It's just, again, a tiny bit more expensive. I think the robos are generally 0.25%, whereas you managing your own index funds, that's 0.1%. And those 15 basis points on $250,000 may not seem like a lot, but, you know, it's your money. So it really depends on your comfort level with managing the money yourself. Okay? So I think that's my update for you there, Mr. Australia. Good luck. Let us know how it goes. Here's a question from Unknowable, from the way that they didn't sign it. Just send us, you know, here's another anonymous, let's call it. M, let's call it. My husband and I would like to retire within 5 years. We need help organizing and balancing 401ks and IRAs to maximize the investments so we can achieve this goal. The funds and Social Security will be our only source of income. We do not have a pension. Who is the best professional to advise us? How do we find a reputable one? Thank you. Well, I mean, it depends whether you want just the clear retirement advice, which you would pay maybe hourly, or whether you want someone to also manage your money. In either case, you know, I'm going to do a shameless plug for the CFPs out there, the Certified Financial Planners, because I am a CFP professional, and actually I am the senior CFP board ambassador. So you can go to my website, jillonmoney.com, and click on the link at the top of the website. It will take you straight away to the CFP board's website. So it says, like, at the top, it says Jill on Money. On the top of the site, it says CFP board. You click it, and then you're on a website called letsmakeaplan.org. You can search and find an advisor there. Alternatively, what you could do is you can also go to a fee-only financial planner, the National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, NAPFA. I also have a link to that website. It's under my resource section. Mark, do you think that maybe we should put resources on the top? Maybe that's an idea. All the different sites that we have. I have the resources on the right rail of the blog. Maybe I should make that its own thing. I don't know. We'll have to think about that. No? Yes? Yeah. All right. Let's think about that. We're trying to make your life easier. Anyway, So NAPFA, National Association of Personal Financial Advisors, NAPFA.org. The difference between that advisor and just any other advisor is a NAPFA, someone who belongs to NAPFA, is someone who is fee-only, collects no commission, probably more likely to do some hourly financial planning. You can also ask for some referrals from folks in, you know, your neighborhood, your area. Completely worthwhile to do it that way as well. Okie dokie. I think that's it. But I think that retirement planning is really fabuloso. Really, you know, we just need to get more people doing it. You know what else I'd like to do, Mark? I was just doing some research in terms of trying to get some good retirement planning stuff. And there's this website called ES Planner. I was about to say ESP, but it's ES Planner. ESPlanner.com. It costs $149 for year one. And after, you get like $70 for a license every year after. But it does like pretty significant planning stuff. ES Planner. I think we should check them out. ESPlanner.com. See if we can get that. It's a little bit better than those free calculators. Anyway, thanks for writing and good luck. It's Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Young, old, it doesn't matter. She's here to help you. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. When I think
of her, you're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number here is 855-411-JILL. You know what, Mark? I'm going to throw this computer out the window. Actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw the internet connection out the window. It's not the computer. You're right. I know. It kills me, though. Good God. Okay. Okay. Now, I wrote an article last month about college planning. Not so much college planning, but how to pay for college. Got a number of emails, so I just wanted to give you a little rundown on that. So Alan from California said, there's no mention of work. Work your way through. I did say work study, but okay. A lot of people noticed that I didn't write work. But so I'm going to say this, that Alan says it took him 9 years from the time he started college in 1974 to the time he got out with a degree in mathematics and a teaching certificate. I worked the night shift as a blue printer in Uptown San Diego so I could attend school in the daytime when the class selection was better. I had to take the bus everywhere. I didn't get much sleep. I was earning about $3 an hour, but I did it and appreciated how all my hard work and determination paid off. So what? Nowadays, nobody has to work for what they want? Did you hear that? That was just me going, having a breath. Also, Joe writes the same thing. Every student should contemplate how they're going to pay for their by working part-time or on weekends or all summer long. It worked for me and millions of us, just food for thought. Yeah, I mean, I get all of that. I get that work is important, and I completely get it. Here's another one from Gary. This is actually interesting. Let me do the work again. So, yes, work is important, but you know what? A lot of people are working and struggling, and they still need more than that. They're not going to make enough money. And all that part-time work that we could get in the 70s and 80s and even in the 90s is actually going to people who used to work full-time. So the jobs are not quite as prevalent as you might imagine. But that said, yes, of course, I think you should work. That makes sense. So Gary says... wants to say that military and government services should be noted for available education assistance resources. True. That I did forget about. As a U.S. Air Force member, I was able to complete 2 graduate and 2 undergraduate degrees with little out-of-pocket costs thanks to the GI Bill and active duty tuition assistance programs. The Air Force also provides its members with the opportunity of enrolling in their accredited community college of the Air Force. Over the course of my enlistment, I also earned 3 associate degrees, 1 for each of my career specialties. Later, as an employee of the Department of Veterans Affairs, the tuition assistance program enabled my completion of a California teaching credential. Now, as a teacher, I undoubtedly know the incredible value of education. I'm grateful for the assistance in completing my college work without the burden of onerous student loans. When people tell me, thanks for your military service, I tell them I've received much more than I have given. That was a nice one, right, Mark? The only problem with that is, of course, not a problem, but, you know, you have to be willing to serve. And, you know, I don't know, maybe a lot of people not necessarily be able to do that. It's a tough thing. Suzanne says, the overriding problem in higher ed is that figuring out an affordable path through scholarships is too complicated for many students. Paying for college is an insider's game, with aid helping those who can maneuver the complexity of funding options. Most high school students aren't up to navigating this complex money game by themselves, and if they don't have a parent or some kind of mentor to help, they often overborrow or just give up. It's a situation that is not only harmful to the individual student, but to our general economy. I've served on the Illinois Community College Board and on the Midwest Higher Education Compact Board. Everyone agrees costs are a barrier. Lowering costs would be good. Okay, so it's a whole long thing. But what's so interesting is that there are, you know, we've had our friend Kelly Peeler on the program. And this may be some of the solution to not just that, you know, in terms of like, you know, where do I get money and how do I navigate this thorny process? Also, David writes about trying to figure out how, you know, what's a strategy to get scholarship money when your AGI, your adjusted gross income, is too high to get financial aid or grants. How about checking out Kelly Peeler's fabulous company called Next Gen Vest. You go online, you can check it out, or you can simply text. And it's so cool. Like, basically, it's for high school or college students. They make the process of applying for college and getting aid and finding scholarships so much easier. Text 646-798-1745. 646-798-1745. Just write, I want help paying for college. Check that out. Check out Next Gen Vest for those of you who are looking for what are the alternatives in terms of your education, loans, scholarships, etc. It's tough. There's also this great guy named Mark Kantrowitz, Advisors. There's a whole bunch of different stuff that he does. So you may want to check him out also. He's got a lot of great tips for those of you looking at college and how to pay for it. Okay, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back. You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Hey, Steve writes, I was listening to your show. I'm wondering your opinion on the Iraq dinar, if you think it will revalue. I have no idea. That is something I'm happy to tell you I don't follow and I definitely don't care about. Is that bad? I think it might be. Here is JG, who wanted to write about our interview with Rachel O'Meara, who was fabulous, by the way. And she loved that book, Pause, as do I. And she said, I recently read another great book called Let Them Lead by Michaela Marie Hart. And she said that it was given to me because I was struggling in my professional and personal life. It made a huge difference, especially the intentioning chapter. It's an interesting story. I took it to heart. I let my coworkers read it. We all agree it's great. Anyway, thanks for being on the air, JG. Oh, you know what is weird? I made JG a woman, although I'm not sure that she is a woman or he is a woman. I'm not sure. It was a gender-neutral email, and I assigned a gender. So anyway, sorry about that if I never did that. Okay. How much time, man? I got to figure out how to do this. Under 1 minute? Okay, we're not going to do that. Okay, so as we round out the hour, here's something you can do during the break. Check out our new YouTube channel. Search under my name, Jill Schlesinger, S-C-H-L-E-S-I-N-G-E-R. YouTube channel, that's where all of the audio and video content for the Jill on Money world is living. Thanks to Mark Tilercio, best producer in the world. Check it out, YouTube channel. Search under Jill Schlesinger. And there you'll be able to check out our new podcast, Better Off. You can always subscribe to Better Off on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, anywhere else you find your favorite podcast. Very easy to do, right? If you've got a financial question, we want to hear from you. So this is what you do. You give us a call, 855-411-JILL, or you send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Isn't that easy? askjill@jillonmoney.com. Okay. When we come back, more of your questions. Stay tuned.